On the next episode of Sip Suds and Smokes,
we are going to go over Natura cigars.
Natura emerged from the fresh produce industry. Visionary Jacob Efrook established a reputation over the course of 35 years for delivering exceptional quality products. Eager to explore new frontiers, he embarked on an innovative journey into the world of tobacco, seeking to create something truly unique. This fusion of agricultural know-how and tobacco cultivation led us to the highlands of Dominican Republic, crafting distinctive blends that stand out from the rest. Cultivated in Constanza, Dominican Republic, an extended growing period that nearly doubles that of traditional methods. This extra time and attention results in larger leaves, brimming with distinct flavors and even new colors.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Hey man, got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to this segment of Smokes episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. Our host is myself, good old boy Barger. To my left is good old boy Benjamin.
Howdy ho, neighbors.
I got to my right, good old boy Rich.
Hey there, everybody.
Sitting in sound is good old boy Bobbert. He's not on the mic yet, though. And we bring in Grandpa to retirement here. Good old boy, Mike.
The holy grail.
Yeah, you really need to find a happy place.
Is that butterscotch in your pocket?
Yeah, that's one of those little strawberries.
It's a Werther. I left him warm just for you.
All right, man. So he's tired of us having all the fun. So we're the best thing on at 2 a.m., right before the cops kick down your door, and because they found the wrong house. And just after those I Love Lucy reruns.
Oh, you know about the neighbor stash.
I'm not driving. I'm traveling.
That's right. That's right. Independence. Right? As you know, and I hope you know, our smoke segments are all about cigars and, well, anything that's smoked. As for today's segment, drum roll, please. We are going to go over Natura cigars. So strap on and hang in tight. We're going to have fun today. But don't worry, if you miss anything, you can go download the full episode from wherever you get your podcast. But before we dive into the shallow end of the pool, remember the buddy system. Where's your buddy?
Hold my hand, Rich.
Oh, buddy.
Do I have to?
Buddy.
It's all about where the pinky's going.
All right. Well,
I got my floaties.
If you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered.
Sorry,
on our Cigar 101 episode.
Needs it's more rim called, shot.
What's it called? Smell My Feet? Is that the name of our episode, Cigar 101?
Dirty Socks.
Yeah.
That's correct.
It's Smell My Feet.
Foot. Smell My Foot.
Foot. Oh, foot. Yeah.
Foot.
Oh,
it was about the foot of the cigar.
You were sorry, like, smell the foot took of my your cigar. One foot, so you we have to smell the other
the
one.
The joke loses its pizzazz as you explain it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, go ahead and look that one up and check out our Cigar 101 and smell our foot. In honors of...
Smell my foot.
You know, good old boy Benjamin gets to go over our smokes rating today. Take it away, Benjamin.
Sweet. So today we'll be smoking and discussing these cigars and rating them with our Sips, Suds, and Smokes ratings plus our signature sounds. And here are those ratings now. One, this sucked even before it was lit. Two, at least I lit it. Three, I'd smoke this again. Four, I'm a joke for them.
Magnificent.
And five, where are they? I need a box.
All right. Well, we got a little bit of explanations about Natura Cigar Companies. They're a newer company on the spot. We just ran into them at PCA last year.
Check for the post on the socials.
Yeah, our Instagram, where I interviewed Jacob Efrick from Natura. That was a good interview. Rich, why don't you tell us a little bit about Natura?
Well, Michael, I'd be happy to. Natura emerged from the fresh produce industry. Visionary Jacob Efrick established a reputation over the course of 35 years for delivering exceptional quality products. Eager to explore new frontiers, he embarked on an innovative journey into the world of tobacco, seeking to create something truly unique. This fusion of agricultural know-how and tobacco cultivation led us to the highlands of Dominican Republic, crafting distinctive blends that stand out from the rest. Cultivated in Constanza, Dominican Republic, at an average temperature of 10 degrees centigrade.
That's when you get a word right.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You should get more of those. And for us...
Guess which one you're going to get.
Which one? Oh.
So 10 degrees centigrade, which is what? About 50 degrees.
About 50 degrees,
about 50,
yeah.
For us rednecks.
I can't do metrics.
Our tobacco undergoes an extended growing period that nearly doubles that of traditional methods. This extra time and attention given to our crops results in larger leaves, brimming with distinct flavors and even new colors. In cold temperatures, we extend the drying process to twice the duration of conventional tobaccos. Through this period, we tend to our leaves in a way that allows them to preserve more nutrition as they dry, maintaining the rich flavors and characteristics that define the essence of Natura.
So one thing I found...
That was a good marketing meeting.
Yeah. So one
when's
thing...
When's lunch?
One thing that I find interesting about this company is they're actually... started as vegetable farmers.
Yeah, you that's the same thing as produce, right?
Welcome to Career Day. My name is Hank, and I want to grow the biggest carrots on the planet.
You want the biggest carrot? What is that guy from Crux? He's got that.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
right. Chris.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. I'm open to like...
I was going
to
ask how many blue ribbons they
onions
have.
Onions and some other vegetables as
I don't
well.
Know. But anyway, so they grow at 4,500 square foot above sea level.
4,500 square foot?
Not square above foot. Square foot. Not. Oh, sorry, that was the contractor in me. I'm still in work brain.
Who am I billing for this?
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Their elevation.
Well, your elevation square feet's off a bit. So
see, that's a lot more dynamic.
So their elevation is 4,500 feet. And they're actually the highest elevated growers.
I've been inhaling so just a little too much today.
There's one company
just that, making up English words.
So Placencia says that they're the highest elevated, but they're only at 3,300 square. I'm not nice, saying dude, square yeah, foot yeah. again. I'm not doing it. At 3,300 feet above sea level.
Well, that is really unusual because, I mean, tobacco is usually grown on incredibly flat, soil. It usually is not, unless you're have a terrorist,
terrorist. Oh,
yes,
that's different.
I know how to enunciate. Yeah. Someone else does not. Mm-hmm. So, but so this not only is their growing process unique, I've got to believe that their cultivation process probably presents some challenges as well, because you're not going to get a lot of equipment to go up and down these mountains.
Yeah.
So I've got to believe that there's an awful lot of work by hand or by donkey.
There's
possibly
a picture of some of their greenhouses.
No. Yeah. You're not those are not going to taste the same at the top as they are at the bottom.
And for the viewers out there, check out this picture.
Out this picture. We'll give you all the time you need.
Absolutely.
But it was interesting how, a lot of those different... what stood out to me in this line is that there were a lot of flavors I was getting from these cigars that I've never had before. And it was just, I think it has to do with the elevation and
well,
soil.
That or I do believe it is probably a combination of several things. Yes, I do believe that it is, aspects of altitude, but I've got to believe their production process has been impacted by a lot of the natural challenges of, you know, basically working on a slope.
Right. Right. Well, what are you guys, what are your thoughts on this? Just first ripoff thoughts.
Needs more donkey.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for the square foot or something.
Yeah, I can't believe I said square foot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, listeners.
Yeah, I get the elevation thing. The greenhouse growing situation, I have many questions about. Draws lines to, you know, viticulture and wine growing, and for something that is a terroir driven product.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the flavor building and, you know, the new colors and those type of things that they mention, you know, what is that greenhouse growing effect?
Why?
Yeah.
That would be my big question. Yeah.
Why do they do it?
Yeah.
Because they had them.
Well, we'll be right back, folks.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Well, we're back. We hope that you enjoyed those commercials, and we are going to kick this off with talking about the first cigar in the line from Natura Cigars. The first in the line is the Akilteke. Is that right?
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
According
I get a ding.
According to YouTube pronunciation.
I got a ding. Okay. Benjamin, tell me a little bit about this cigar.
As exotic as it is alluring, this rare blend is hard to come across, but delivers spirited and sweet draws for the most worthy of smokers. The wrapper's Cameroon, the binder's Habano, filler Pennsylvania Dominicano T3, and Patafina.
Okay.
You know, these things, number one, we hit the majority of them were a bit larger ring gauge or girth.
Yeah,
girth.
They were going to be demonstrating how to measure girth. Girth is a very important measurement when determining sizes. First, take your tape measure, place it at the center of the shoulder, bring it down through the crotch, and back up again.
Ew.
Hey-o. Well, tell me what you thought about this cigar.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Habano Cameroon, I think, created a bit of a juxtaposition that I wasn't super crazy about. The Cameroon wrapper being very delicate and having a very almost kind of like floral flavor profile to it that Habano spice kind of cut through a bit for me.
Yeah.
So it not something that I would have necessarily not a flavor profile that I've ever experienced or what have I, you know, put together in my own brain as something to look for, to be real honest. But
sure.
I think that's maybe one of the feathers in the cap of Natura is, you know, maybe doing something a little different.
Right.
Right. They're getting
intentionally or maybe unintentionally.
Well, so both, if they're growing all of these things, right, and this process is taking longer and the colder temperature exposure, you know, maybe they're pulling some different flavor profiles out of those well known cigar, you know, leaves that we know. And these things, you know, maybe work a bit better, you know, in their blending panels or labs or however they put that together.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that's just kind of where I landed on it. You know, sure. I think a lot of the, you know, they talk about it having like some clove, and some vanilla. I didn't really pick those notes up.
I didn't pick up the vanilla.
I did.
But the, well,
interesting.
Okay, Mike, geez.
Well, here was my notes on it. I said it was a great smoke. I enjoyed it. It was really earthy, like the soil. You could really get that soil taste out of it, almost to the point of Like, you were tasting dirt, kind of.
And I think that's a thread of commonality through the line.
Yeah. And I even put in here, I said, some people don't like that, but I do. You know, but it's also, it was smooth. I thought the draw was really good on it. I thought the construction on mine was good. Now, yep. I know some of you guys had a little construction issues.
Yeah, I had, this is the one I had huge construction issues out of.
Yeah.
I had about a quarter of the wrapper flaked off. It was real thin. I must have been smoking it too fast. Right.
Put the earth on the earth. I did
push through.
Well, I mean, that Cameroon wrapper is a delicate wrapper.
Well,
too.
If it got
knocked in your humidor, it could have just been broken. Then, you know, anything could have happened.
Well, and it had a hot spot, you know. So, anyways, I got through it. Though.
Was the Wi-Fi connection good on it? Or?
Did you use the right password again?
I did.
But
I'm glad I pushed through it. I did get a lot of interesting flavors. I got a little bit of what I considered maybe some hay or straw.
That's
like
earthy tone.
Kind of that earthy tone. I think on the website they talked about having a clover flavor.
I don't know. Let's see if Mike picked out the cloves.
I call that earthiness the aroma of horse.
So here we go.
The name of a horse is the name of the cigar.
No, I know. His whole line is
I did pick up on a little bit of wood.
Yeah.
And some clove and something sweet is what I wrote down. And I kind of went back and said, this is probably vanilla. It's a really interesting combo. It is that Pennsylvania filler. Yeah. Is absolutely the X factor in many of the cigars we're going to talk about. The simple word I used was intriguing.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things we ran across, and I'm like, this is not like, you know, any other combo that we've had before. And right. I've got to believe it is, you know, that Pennsylvania leaf that they have in their filler itself that has got to be creating something that we've just never had before, because I don't know anybody else that's using that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would probably be, you know, at the top of my list is, why'd you guys choose to do that? I mean, is that something that grows at altitude? Are they growing that elsewhere and importing the filler in? Because it definitely is something that I was like, this is something very, very different. And I'm going to have to say, I've had the other things that are, you know, a part of this combo. So I've got to believe that is what is creating something that is really unique here. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, the uniqueness. And I think that my thoughts on it are the soil and the elevation are really what drive the flavor profiles to be completely different than what we're used to smoking. So let's see what we got here. We're going to rate it a 4.
Magnificent.
I mean, I just thought it was both intriguing and average, but I don't know that I would go back to this again, but I'm very glad to have it at least once. I probably would have, you know, after the third stick, I would have said,
kind of done with that.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I'll definitely go back to it.
Yeah. I mean, this is one I would definitely go back to. But up next, Mike, you're going to talk about the Frisian. Frisian. Is that
Frisian? Is how you say
Frisian.
It is the name of another horse.
Yeah, this whole line is all about horses. That was his whole thing. He loves horses.
Yeah,
Jacob loves horses.
Combining a robust appearance with an enjoyable temperament, this blend of San Andreas and punchy fillers offers a harmonious smoking experience. Yeah, I think the marketing meeting went a little too long. The wrapper on this is San Andreas. The binder is broadleaf. And we are back to a combo of that Nicaragua, Pennsylvania, Dominican, Habano is what we have on this one. So let's see. Let me bring up my own notes here on Frisian. It was a tad spicy up front. Tons of construction issues. See? You feel better now, Rick?
I think I do. I think you were smoking it wrong. You were smoking it too fast.
Thin draw, some canoeing, roller coaster flavors, and a partridge in a pear tree. It's kind of mild in the middle with a hint of spice, a little bit of wood.
and some faint citrus, which I kind of pegged as orange. You know, it's kind of what I picked on. You know, it was, again, kind of fell in that same category for me. It was like, this is interesting. I really like whatever is new and different in this. And I'm like, definitely with that many things in the filler, you know, it's like, did you hit it well or did you miss it or what's going on here exactly?
So I think the San Andreas really made that one pop. This was actually my least favorite in the line, but I think that San Andreas really brought it together.
Yeah. I don't know that I would go back to this one. Yeah.
This one's probably the most consistent.
I think it was all the construction things.
Yeah. From a flavor profile for me from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I think it is the combination of the Habano and San Andreas, right? The little bit darker wrapper.
Yeah. And we'll be right back with the rest of these thoughts.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back. Folks, thanks for having us and keep on listening to us. Benjamin, you want to finish your thoughts on that Frisian?
Well, yeah, and then I think the other thing that I noticed about Natura cigars is they seem to have a very solid, noticeable kind of base blending.
Yeah.
So they all kind of have the same foundation to the cigars, and then they're really, it feels like concentrating in on the binder and the wrapper, and it gives you the opportunity to kind of dial into those larger flavor components, which is something that was pretty cool. I think it would be a good opportunity and interaction for, you know, a newer cigar smoker or a novice cigar smoker to kind of understand the complexity that the binder and wrapper bring to a cigar, because there's that same kind of common thread of, you know, the Habano, the Pennsylvania leaves underneath whatever they're wrapping the cigars in.
Interesting. Yeah.
Rich, what do you think about this one?
I agree with everyone's so far. I think I got a lot of earth flavoring. Mine was it was weird because I felt like it was smooth, but I had a little string of bitterness. Yeah. In it, which was kind of weird, but other than that, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was it had a lot better construction than the last one.
There was something out of balance with this, and I never could really
put your finger on it.
Yeah, it was like there's something, I don't know exactly which piece of the equation was out of balance, but I kept on fighting through so many of the construction issues. I was like, okay,
you humidify them in their sock drawer.
Someone gave me in a pack with a Beveda in it, so I left it in there for the proper amount of time. Yeah, it was the roller coaster effect of the flavors that I thought was really kind of off-putting, and I don't know if it was having these peak moments and then these valleys, and I was like, where is this going? I mean, I remember going through this and going, I can't wait for this to be done. Am I at the band yet? Because I'm, has it turned? Because, I'm just going to declare it's turned. But
well, so for me, this cigar, it started out really good. Like, I really enjoyed the first, I'd say, half of it. And then when I got to the last half, it was just kind of trailing off. And like the flavor profile was not that San Andreas was just kind of falling off a little bit.
If they dropped this out of their product line, I would not miss it.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we going to give it? I'm going to give it a 3. Well, as many of you know, we went to PCA this year and
Premium Cigar Association trade show.
Yeah, in New Orleans, and it was myself, Rich, and Bobbert.
Nolens.
Yeah. Nolens. And we had Justin, good old boy Justin, was there with us. Shout out.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah, we had a really good time out there.
We worked a lot.
I think we did 51 interviews in 3 days.
I think Robert clocked us at like 70 miles a day or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
10
okay, miles a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
70, 10, whatever.
It's a split. How many square feet is that?
I don't think 7, that you guys need to use the word clocked in any other word.
Okay.
That's right. But anyway,
in the word IQ should just literally be banished from your vocabulary. 5,000
square feet an hour.
Yeah.
A lot of square footage in that place.
That place was massive.
It was
huge. It was like a mile long on the inside.
And you'd have to go from one side to the other quickly.
Because they don't put the booths that you want to talk to next to each other.
We're here at minus 40 feet elevation.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
At least.
But it was interesting because when I found the booth for Natura, I walked up and wanted. I was like, thank you guys for making that first harvest that, made my list last year. That was my top cigar from the PCA 2023 in Vegas.
Well, I think that there was a fair bit of marketing that, was playing into a lot of the splash with that product. I think people were really intrigued, like, what are you guys doing? Nobody else is doing this in the DR. And I think the novelty of what they were describing, what they were doing, I thought created a lot of unnatural buzz,
Well, what was interesting is the when I got the first harvest at 2023, I didn't know any of that stuff.
Mm.
And I had just smoked the cigar.
Mm.
And they only give me one because they were like, there's only 7,000 boxes and that got produced period out of their first harvest. So I was like, okay, well,
sure. It wasn't 7,000 square feet.
Yeah. Well, it could have been, but either way, it made my number one cigar of 2023. And I went up to them to thank them for making that cigar. And they were like, we're on your list. Like, who are you? What's your list? And I was like, I thought we emailed you the link. And I ended up sending them the link. It was really funny because they had no idea. Anyway, I sent the guy the link while we were there, and then over the first night, I guess they listened to the episode.
And then it was
banned once again.
Yeah, no. But then when we came back next day.
Senor, you're not coming into the Dominican Republic today.
No more.
Well, they were like,
you're going to get
no more cigar for you.
They were just super happy and appreciative, and it was just really refreshing to be like, they thanking us for doing this, and we're just like, thank you for doing what you do, It was really interesting and started a conversation with Alex, which is their head director of, I think he's just the head director there.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, Alex is a great dude to talk to, and we had a good conversation, and we did an interview with Jacob Efrock, and it's on our Instagram. I actually made him tear up with one of my questions.
What's your favorite lollipop flavor?
Jasmine, smell your feet.
Yeah.
I really like cream soda, man.
But no, it was a really good time. What were your impressions?
Well, I just think, for as far as the people, they're great people. And were real warm with us. I guess even the first day, I think they were interested in what we did. And of course, when we came back, they were like, clear the stage. We're going to do this, get out of the way. I mean, they were really cool. And the interview was just you could tell that the guy was just really a solid guy.
Yeah. And he was talking to us about his, how their vegetable farms and, during COVID, what happened with them. And they had to, slow down production. They're like, well, we're just going to grow tobacco then. And then it was just like they got into that. And man, that dude has just gone on from there. So
why don't you tell us about First Harvest a bit more?
Yeah. Let me tell you about First Harvest. Okay, so first harvest and second harvest were just that. So they released the second harvest.
Freaking seven harvest.
So the second harvest was released in 2024. Now, these are 100% Puro of only tobacco grown on their farm. And from farm to seed, their process for these took about 3.5 years. And once it was rolled, they aged them another 6 months. So we don't have any information on binder, filler, wrapper, because that's all proprietary. But, man.
They are declared Puros.
Yep, they are Puros.
Yeah, so that means all the products in this are from the Dominican Republic.
Right. Thank you for that.
Would it be safe to assume that they're also all from the Natura farms?
Our understanding.
The greenhouse farms.
I would think so.
Cool. They are all from the greenhouse.
Unless they got good donkeys on the other side of the mountain.
I love this first harvest. And the second harvest, I liked it a lot, but I had a little bit of issues with it as well. But I'd like to hear what your guys' thoughts are before I give mine.
For me, the first harvest was my favorite out of the entire lineup. I think that they absolutely crushed it.
Yep.
And I think if that's your introduction to a brand, like it definitely sets the bar high. But, you know, no bad comments about the first harvest for me. It also kind of cool that they didn't have any of, you know, it was a limited release, but they had enough to share with us PCA round two for them.
Yeah.
So just super kind of them to offer us the first harvest to be able to compare to the second harvest, right. Which was a really cool smoking experience.
Absolutely.
One versus the other. You don't really get that linear experience, I don't think, with a lot of other cigar brands. So a really, you know, singular experience from Natura Cigars.
Rich, what did you think?
I had the opposite. I thought the second harvest was a lot better than the first for me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to come back to that comment in just a second.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Today we're going over Natura Cigars in our smoke segment. And we were just talking about the first and second harvest. And Rich was telling us some pretty bad news, I think.
Bad news, huh?
Tell me some more.
No, I just, for me, my experience with the second harvest was superior than the first harvest. I think the first harvest, when I smoked them in order, I did the first harvest and then the next day I did the second harvest. But the first harvest seemed a little muted.
Really?
For my taste. The burn was okay. Had a little bit of issues with it. But the second harvest, I really enjoyed. I had some spice, had a little bit of sweetness.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I thought you were...
No, I'm just stretching my... So,
I know.
The thing is that Barger reached out with his hand as he said sweetness, and Barger gestures towards him, and he's like, whoa, hey, man. What? I'm not going to happen on my boundaries. Watch today.
Boundaries.
Yes. Don't worry, Brian. I'm not going to hit you.
This is a safe space, Rich, okay? Yeah. We're in the studio,
that's relative,
man.
That's relative, right. Mike.
I know we're in the basement, but this is a safe place,
we'll
okay?
See. But, right. What else? I was going to say that the flavor profile was definitely unique. It was like I was tasting something and some things, but I just really couldn't place them. But they were very interesting. And I almost wonder if we're getting some of the, I don't know if this is legit or not, but any the previous crops of vegetables, if you get some flavors from that.
You getting some celery in there,
boy? I'm getting some potential. You can get some
onion. That's what was
stuff up in the air with you know pollination or whatnot.
But it was definitely interesting.
One tobacco plant, one carrot, one onion. Next.
What'd you think?
I'm curious to hear your opinion. Altura First Harvest. My first words were very tight. Kind of earthy, touch of spice, a little bit of wood, just a wee bit. That's about that much.
we got a scale on wood now.
Yeah, trimming the branches off right. A little bit here.
I was exhausted from the tight draw. Mm. And when I write that in a note, I have been sucking and sucking and sucking and blowing and sucking, and I'm just... If I am,
can you show us on the doll?
Yeah. I am telling you. Okay,
point.
I know this is a safe space in the basement, but I was exhausted. Okay, I don't know what my safe word was that day, but it probably was Barger sucks. So, you know, there was a bit more spice at the midpoint. I did not like this overall. I would
Which
not
one, the first
back.
Or second.
I'm talking about the first.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and, you know, after reading more about this, I think that I was coming to that, you know, conclusion of, you know, I think the marketing was getting ahead of, you know, the cigar itself. And I don't know, there was just some part of me going, I don't get it. I really don't. Hmm. And I, you know, was going, okay, well, maybe at some point in time I will get it, but not today. So.
Okay. Well, the first harvest for me, I got to smoke another one because they sent us some, aside from smoking one in 2023. And man, it was consistent. I had great burn, great draw. The flavor was still there. And one of the things I noted was the difference between the second harvest and the first harvest. The second harvest was a super oily wrapper. Like the wrapper on that was really oily.
I have very different notes on the second harvest.
Yeah. But it was good. It was a good oil, like a. I don't even know. I'm not gonna throw another brand out there
because like deer oil or
motor oil.
Yeah. No, I'm talking like, you know,
olive oil, strawberry.
Yeah. 0-20
pink olive oil.
About 10-15 maybe. You know. But
upper body oil.
The oils in the first harvest were not as prominent as the oils in the second harvest, on the wrapper, just visually. But man, the first harvest had that flavor. It was just complex. And I think that's what drew me in, was the complexity of it. I'd never smoked anything that tasted like that. And it was, I really enjoy it. Mm. So what are we going to give the first harvest? Give it a 4?
Magnificent.
Now on the second harvest, what are we going to give it here? What do we do?
Hey.
Well, listen to my notes, and then maybe I'll be the splitter. It was sweet and complex. I had some more fits with construction issues. Mm-hmm. See, Rich, you were not the only one. Lots of canoeing. So very thin draw, hints of milk chocolate and vanilla spice and mint at the midpoint. Was a very interesting DR Puro. It paired very poorly with the Ron Isalco 18 rum that I had. So it was way too sweet all the way around with the two of all that.
Well, you put a sweet rum with a...
Yeah. But if you guys want to chat it up a bit more before we rate it.
I mean,
I just felt like, you know, especially with maybe some of the construction issues, was it just felt like it needed a little bit more aging. That was
so
my opinion.
That's a good point. So, and that was something that Alex even brought up to us. He said, hey, I'm going to give you guys these second harvest here, but what's going to happen? You need to set on them as long as you can before you smoke them, because they've been kind of rushed. Yeah. Maybe not rushed is not the right word, but they need a little bit more time.
They pushed them out quickly.
Yeah.
To make the
PCA. Yeah. And so what's, but anyway, we'll go ahead and give it a 3. I am interested in trying it again.
I'll take more of them.
Yeah, because it was a very distinct flavor. Now, on the next cigar, good old boy Mike's going to tell us about the fifth anniversary.
We have some brief time to cover the fifth anniversary. I'll tell you, the wrapper is Dominican, the binder and filler are proprietary. Here are my notes on the anniversary. Quite a bit of cedar up front. Maintain the same cedar till it turned. Creamy and some toasted nuts, like walnuts. The Pennsylvania filler was, again, unique and not the typical DR Puro. Turned on the band, which I thought was a bit early. It felt really great in the hand. Good construction for this particular stick. I really love all their branding. These embossed bands were really gorgeous. Mm. So,
the branding is on point with this company.
Maybe one more person and then let's rate it.
Yeah. What do you think?
The cedar note all the way through, hands down, not overly woody, but that like fragrant, nice kind of oily cedar.
I agree.
Through the fifth anniversary.
Yeah.
And I think this was the third one that I smoked in the lineup, and got me really excited to finish up.
This one burned the best.
Is fours across the table here.
Yeah.
I definitely agree that the fifth anniversary is the first harvest and the fifth anniversary were really pushing.
I really like the anniversary a lot. I would go back to that.
I think with a little bit more time, second harvest will be great.
Mine was great.
Yeah. But, you know, I definitely want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in. Again, this is Sips, Suds, and Smokes on our smoke segments. And this is good old boy Barger. And to my left, good old boy Benjamin.
Smoke him if you got him.
Good old boy Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this episode today with Sips, Suds, and Smokes. Check out our other episodes on our back catalog. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
And good old boy Robert, get back in the corner where we put you.
Yeah, please. Robert. Come on now. No.
Good old boy Rich.
Don't take our word for it. Go out and try these things for yourself.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. If you care about our opinions, then go smoke what we like.
Do you think them donkeys work well at 45 degrees at 4,900 square feet?
I think everybody should at least give everything a try.
What's the square footage on that? Give it the old
college try.
What's the square footage on that?
Instead of using square feet, if I use the square alone, does that mean it's like 3,300?
This is a good old boy Barger telling you to keep on smoking, folks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a one-tan hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.